A lot of your federal agencies actually have on-site daycares, and they also provide for dependent care benefits. So if you have, like, an elderly parent or a child that needs child care or day activities, a lot of the federal agencies have those, and a lot of them have them right on-site. So it's a tremendous benefit in terms of workforce. They also provide a lot of room for flexible work schedules. The federal government has a number of policies around workforce flexibility. You basically can flex your time. As long as you put in your 8 hours a day, you can start your day at 6 o'clock in the morning and finish at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or if you want to come in as late as 10 o'clock in the morning and work until 8 o'clock at night, you have that flexibility. And another important feature of federal employment is there is a student loan forgiveness program. Now, that's not for every single job in the federal government, but there's an awful lot of jobs that if you go to work in the federal government, your student loans, for every year of service that you work for the federal government, you are forgiven a percentage of those student loans that people take out. So it's a huge benefit. And the last thing is, they're hiring when nobody else is hiring. And this year, they expect to do 200,000 new hires this year. So I thought I'd start out with the reasons as why you'd want to go to the federal government. Let me give you a little bit of historical background. I actually, my specialty and what I do with my job is I train and provide technical assistance on employment of people with disabilities, and that's across the board. That can be transitioning students, that can be individuals using the ticket to work, that can be welfare mothers who are trying to go to work for the first time. I mean, I do the broad spectrum, Department of Labor one stops. But federal employment, and this is a historical perspective, Theodore Roosevelt proclaimed in his State of the Union address on December 3, 1907, that the national government should be a model employer. We tend to think that, you know, the disability movement has really sprung up in the 70s and the 80s, but he recognized it back in 1907. And with the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, which I'm not really going to go into in any detail, but that was kind of the beginning of the whole concept of non-discrimination and full inclusion of people with disabilities. And under the Rehab Act, there is provisions that basically require that federal agencies must promote equal employment opportunities through a continuing affirmative action program with people with disabilities. So it's one of the few affirmative action programs that is actually required. Any affirmative action program in private business or private industry is usually the result of litigation where they have been found discriminatory, and it's to compensate for past discrimination. However, the federal government has an affirmative action or an affirmative obligation to hire, retain, and promote people with disabilities. Now, the EEOC, which is the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, is the entity within the federal government that's basically responsible for monitoring how are the federal agencies doing in employing, advancing, and retaining people with disabilities. And their reports indicate that despite the initiatives of multiple administrations and the efforts of various agencies charged with administering programs for the employment of persons with targeted disabilities, the percentage of persons with targeted disabilities, and that's what that PWTD stands for, and I'll explain that in a minute, has declined each year since reaching a peak of 1.24% in 1993. This is an extremely discouraging pattern, especially given the fact of all the rights and protections that we've added into law since 1990 with the ADA. So, what are targeted disabilities? Specifically, targeted disabilities are deafness, blindness, anyone who has, and this language, let me stop for a second, this language is terribly dated. This is not my language. This is language that's taken from the regulations themselves, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So some of these terms are actually a little offensive and certainly very politically incorrect in today's climate. However, it's going to take a regulatory change in order to make some of these changes. So I'm giving you the language that currently exists with the caveat that as recently as last a week ago Thursday, I provided comment to the EEOC. While they were seeking comment on the new ADA amendments, I talked about the fact that the ADA amendments were great for non-discrimination, but let's talk about non-discrimination in federal government and then use that as a segue into this language has got to change. So the other targeted disabilities are missing extremities and distortion of limb or spine, partial paralysis or complete paralysis, convulsive disorders, mental retardation, and mental illness. Those are the targeted disabilities that are eligible for employment through the Schedule A hiring authority. Where do these come from? Back in 1973, when the Rehabilitation Act passed and it contained the Section 503, Section 504 provisions, the federal government basically has had up until that point done a survey where individuals self-report and self-identified if they had a reportable disability. Now, a reportable disability is above and beyond that list that I mentioned. A reportable disability could be anything that the individual feels they consider to be a disability and they self-report. The EEOC took a look at those and kind of discussed them, thought them through, and basically came up with a list of what they considered to be targeted disabilities, which was a subset of that group, officially recognized by the EEOC beginning in December of 1979. And when I've talked with people who have been around in the federal government and around at the EEOC, the thinking was that these targeted disabilities were the more significant disabilities and that there was a readily available pool not only of individuals with these disabilities but also organizations that provided support to these individuals and services available to them so that they would actually help the federal government meet their workforce. So, again, it's a little bit dated, and it goes back to the late 70s. And criteria at the time, as I indicated, was based on the severity of disability, the feasibility of recruitment, and the availability of workforce data. So we know that certainly since 1979, types of disabilities have changed, types of services have changed. But nonetheless, this is what we're working with. So how's the federal government doing now in terms of employment of people with disabilities? Not very well. In fiscal year 2008, the participation rate of people with targeted disabilities fell to 0.88% of the federal government, which is the lowest participation rate in 20 years. And the participation rate has declined while the federal workforce has actually grown. From 1999 until 2008, the total workforce increased by 301,031 employees, which was a 12.22% increase, while the number of people with targeted disabilities decreased from 27,601 in 1999 to 24,447, a net decline of 11.49%. Now, while these numbers may not be important, there's a lot of information that we don't necessarily know from these numbers, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So, targeted disabilities are those disabilities the federal government, as a matter of policy, has identified for special emphasis, and those are in regulation. The reason that there is suddenly this huge look at federal employment is that we know that there's going to be a huge retirement wave coming. And based on available data, there are not enough youth coming up through the system to be able to replace the traditional number of workers that are exiting the employment system. So people with disabilities are going to be a very essential part of the labor market. That combined with the fact that public policy now is moving in the direction of kind of a work first or everybody works. Unlike 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, where people with disabilities were not expected to do things, the feeling is and the movement is that everybody works just like everybody else. And the Rehabilitation Act that I've mentioned is based on the premise that every person with a disability, regardless of how significant that disability is capable of engaging in an employment outcome provided they are given the proper services and supports. So what we're trying to do now is kind of make all these policies and practices come together, and we'd sure like to find to have the federal government step up to the plate. And I put this last bullet, says federal agencies are in your locality. I work in Washington, D.C., so everything in Washington, D.C. is either pretty much federal or programs and services that support that. But there are a number of hubs around the country that are also very much hubs for federal employment, and Philadelphia is one of those. They're scattered across the country, but certainly in Philadelphia you have just about every federal office that you would have anywhere else. They may also be spread through other parts of the state, but they're clearly in Philadelphia. So what is Schedule A? This is the crux of what we want to talk about. Schedule A is a non-competitive appointment. And what that means is that if a federal agency has a job opening, whether it be for a file clerk or a mailroom person or someone to answer the telephone or a lawyer, that they can actually hire someone directly into that position if they qualify for Schedule A. So the jobs do not need to be advertised. Let me go through these and then I'll kind of explain how it actually works. For a Schedule A appointment, the job does not need to be advertised, and an organization or an agency does not need to wait for the closing date to fill the job. So, for instance, if they have posted a position, and let's say the closing date was November 30th, but they come across an application and somebody qualifies for Schedule A, and they believe that that individual otherwise has the skills, knowledge, and ability to do the job, they can take that person immediately, put them into the job, and not worry about the closing date of the application. It also, the Schedule A positions do not require a formal job announcement. So if a federal agency is doing the recruitment out to the disability community or to different agencies, and they can identify people through their outreach and recruitment, they don't even have to post a job announcement. They can automatically say, I know Tracy, I've met with her before, Tracy can do my job, Tracy come to work for me, and skip that all together, which is a huge time saver if you know anything about federal employment. And agencies can accept resumes without job notices. So again, the selective placement person for each hiring agency can be gathering over the course of the year or whatever resumes from people with disabilities who are seeking employment. Again, generally the broad classifications are, my boss would kill me if he knew this was on the slide, mental retardation, the National Disability Rights Network as a national organization has made a very conscious decision that we do not use the R word anymore. However, it is the terminology that is still listed in the regulations. Someone with a severe physical disability or someone with a psychiatric disability. Okay, about 3 years ago, the Office of Personnel Management, who is the organization basically responsible for all federal employment, issued some changes in their Schedule A regulations. So the first thing that they did is they combined Schedule A appointing authority into one streamlined set of regulations. They also made a clear distinction in streamlining it, and we'll talk more about what that actually means in a minute. But they actually made a distinction between proof of disability and certification of job readiness. Certification of job readiness, basically, and Laura, I didn't make the words up. It's in the regulation. I, like Laura, believe there's no such thing as job ready. And if somebody has to be job ready to go to vocational rehabilitation, then they probably didn't need vocational rehabilitation in the first place. But that's a different story for a different day. The requirements now is that the certification of job readiness is what I akin to, in basic terms, means that you have the skills, knowledge, and ability to do the job. You know, are you ready to go to work? It's not the kind of thing where you have to wait till you recover from X, Y, or Z. Are you ready to go to work now? And if you're ready to go to work and you have proof of disability, then you probably have what you need for that Schedule A certification. And if the applicant does not have certification of job readiness, an agency can hire the individual into a temporary appointment to determine job readiness for continued employment. And what this basically means is, I call it the benefit of the doubt. If the individual basically looks like they can do the job, but perhaps they don't have exactly the experience or background that someone is looking for, you can hire them into that position on a temporary basis to basically allow them to demonstrate their ability to do the work. So that's what I call the benefit of the doubt. And for those of us who do employment on a regular basis, these terms are very, very confusing and have a very different meaning to those of us who do the work every day. But does that make sense? That, you know, basically you have proof of disability and you want to go to work and you find or hear of a job or seek a particular job. This is where the dreams come back. If you've always wanted to work for NASA, you can check the NASA website. You can find out the kinds of jobs that they have available. They're not always open all the time, but that's okay. You find out what kind of jobs they have, and then you send your resume to them, and you let them know that you really want to come to work for them. Or if you've always wanted to work for the IRS so that you could be that guy on the other end of the phone, then, you know, this is your opportunity. Who can certify disability? Prior to these changes back in 2006, there were only two entities who could certify disability. And quite frankly, I think that was part of the problem. Prior to 2006, only qualified rehabilitation counselors employed by the state rehab agency or a comparable person at the Veterans Administration were the only two entities that could certify disability. Under the new regulations, in their hopes of simplifying it, they've now basically said that that it can be a licensed vocational specialist, such as a VR counselor, or any federal agency, state agency, or District of Columbia that issues or provides disability benefits. So certainly the Social Security Administration can do it. And I think if I flip forward, yes. Who else can certify? A licensed medical professional. So a psychiatrist can verify that an individual has a psychiatric disability. So basically doctors can also do that. Yes. Let's wait for the mic, please.
Autism fall under?
I'm guessing that it would fall under the mental conditions. That's one of the questions that I've actually specifically asked the EEOC, because it's a little different than I think their original intent, but it is the up-and-coming disability. So I'm pretty sure that we would get somebody qualified under a mental condition, which is why I don't like the terminology that they use. So each agency ultimately has the right to decide what documentation they will accept. For instance, a licensed audiologist, a clinical social worker, etc. What does job ready and qualified mean? It just means that you must be able to work. A qualified individual with a disability is defined as a person who, with or without reasonable accommodation, can perform the essential functions of the job. And the qualifications can include skills, knowledge, and ability to do the work. Okay? It's really pretty basic in terms of if this is what you have to do, can you do those jobs with or without the accommodation? When they made the changes to the regulations in 2006, they basically included three hiring options. The first is that you're hired into a temporary position, and that's, like I say, in lieu of job readiness certification. If the hiring agency thinks you can do the job, but they're not really convinced based on either your interview, if you don't interview well, and that happens. A lot of people don't interview well, but they could certainly do the job. Or perhaps you don't have a lot of experience, so your resume doesn't reflect past experience. They can hire you into a temporary position. And temporary can actually be up to 2 years. That's the only caveat. You still get all the benefits of federal employment, but it delays your permanent hiring status. You can be hired into a time-limited job. And the time-limited job are one of those jobs, perhaps, let's say, with the IRS, where for 6 months of the year they're incredibly busy and then their workload wanes. So they don't really need to keep you on a permanent basis, but they need somebody to work for 6 months. And in that case, you can be hired into those time-limited positions. And if you get enough of those time-limited positions, the chances are really good that somebody else in those permanent positions is going to leave and you can move over. And you can be hired permanently when proof of disability and job readiness is provided. And under all of these three hiring authorities, Schedule A is actually called accepted service. And I'm guessing that when it says accepted service, you are kind of accepted from the usual hiring process. This is where the language is just horrible. And all of these can be converted to competitive service after you meet the job requirements. The new terminology in the regulations actually did define job readiness as the ability to perform duties of the job in a work environment. And the federal hiring manager determines if the applicant is qualified to perform the essential functions. So, again, it's really not any different than any other job. You match your skills and abilities to the jobs that are open. Oh, Schedule A, the new regs also added the term, what does likely to succeed mean? How many people here are likely to succeed? And I would want everybody to raise their hand, because if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else is going to. But it simply states that a person is ready for employment. And this statement, I've added this bullet that says, this statement does not put any liability on the counselor that the consumer will succeed. Going back to the old process, I said there were only two entities that were able to certify for Schedule A. One of those was the State Vocational Rehabilitation Agency, also known as the Public VR Program. The other was the VA system. For anybody who knows anything about vocational rehabilitation, it was an eligibility-based program. You have to apply. You have to have a physical or mental impairment that results in a substantial impediment to employment, and there has to be a reasonable expectation that you will benefit from vocational rehabilitation services, even though that's presumed. What was happening with Schedule A and vocational rehabilitation, an individual went to VR and said, I'd like you to give me a Schedule A letter. The VR counselor would say, wait a minute, I don't know anything about you. I don't know what you can do. We're going to have to make an eligibility determination. We're going to have you go through this vocational assessment. We're going to have to do X, Y, and Z in order for us to be able to put our seal of approval, so to speak, on you in order to verify to the employer that you're able to do the job. And the point of the new revised regulations were to say, no, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is verify disability and have an and allow the person to presume that they're going to be capable of doing the job. And that was deliberately done to expedite the Schedule A process so that the job that the individual wanted was probably not going to be open 8 months down the road, and to get people in the door quickly. Okay, there's a little bit of a caveat with the Schedule A terminology, but not unlike in the regular job market. The only restriction for job readiness is if there is not an accommodation for the disability, and when a change to the there is not an accommodation to the disability that would allow that individual to do that particular job. And quite frankly, I can't think of a job in the federal government where an accommodation could not be made, but I'll give you the most obvious kind of thought that comes to my head, and this was certainly one that the ADA. You have to have good visual acuity to fly an airplane, and if you're blind, there is no accommodation that is going to allow you to be a pilot. And that's akin to what I'm looking at here. I mean, I honestly cannot think of an accommodation that can't be made that's not reasonable, but it is possible that you may have somebody with just the perfect disability that is just counterintuitive to the job. And if the individual, the Schedule A is basically a letter. I have a sample that follows. If you choose not to include certification of job readiness, so in other words, if the VR agency is only willing to certify that you are, in fact, a person with a disability who has X or Y disability, but they're not willing to make a statement regarding your readiness for work, they don't have to. And if they choose not to do that, the federal hiring manager has the option to hire the individual on a temporary appointment. So again, it just goes back to what I said. It's that benefit of the doubt to get people into employment. And the absolute advantage for Schedule A employment is that hiring managers can hire people quickly. And they tend to forget about that. So here's your sample A letter. To whom it may concern, this letter serves as a certification that, I'm going to throw a name in there, Johnny is an individual with a documented disability identified by the Virginia Department of Rehabilitative Policy and can be considered for employment under Schedule A hiring authority. This funny little number here is something that lawyers use. It's 5 Code of Federal Regulations 213.3102U. That's legal jargon. You don't have to worry about that. Johnny also has certification of job readiness and, for example, office setting, food service, warehouse, and is likely to succeed in performing the duties of the position for which he or she is seeking. Thank you for your interest in considering this individual for employment. You may contact me at and contact information. Here's a slightly different letter. The first paragraph is still the same. The second paragraph says, Johnny has certification of job readiness in warehouse distribution, office setting, whatever, environment, and is likely to succeed in performing the duties of the position for which he or she is seeking, provided he or she is, for instance, you might list any restrictions due to the disability, such as operate equipment if the individual has a seizure disorder, or climb ladders, that kind of thing. And again, it's the same kind of thing. The wording likely to succeed is stated in the new regulations issued by OPM, I think I said this earlier, and does not put any liability on the counselor that the consumer will succeed, but simply states that the person is ready for employment. So, I'm sorry, that's duplicative, and I should have caught that. How do you find federal jobs? Here's some ways. You can go to the official website of the federal government, which is usajobs.gov, And each agency there has a website. So even if it's a good way to kind of find out what are the kinds of positions that are available in the federal government. Chances are if the Social Security Administration has it, then probably the Department of Transportation has that similar position, Department of Labor. You can attend federal job fairs. They're often available, and right now the military particularly seems to be holding them in relation to the base realignment and closure thing. I happen to live down in the Maryland border, and they're going to be moving to the Aberdeen Proving Ground. So we see federal job fairs there all the time recruiting for new jobs. The federal government and various programs offer a lot of internships, and that information is also available. If you're interested in federal employment, I would highly encourage you to apply for a summer internship. It gives you experience. It also will get your name known around so people can hire you. And there are newspapers such as the Roll Call and the Hill, which are actually D.C. papers that cover Washington-based jobs. Yes. No. Those are actually an application process. The question was, do you need the letter for summer internships or summer employment? And the answer is no. Those are specifically designed. They have programs specifically targeting people with disabilities. They have the Department of Labor runs a program called Work Recruitment Program, where they bring you into federal agencies for the summer. Those are a competitive application, and in fact, on those, you want to specify that you're a person with a disability, or you wouldn't qualify for the program. One second.
Say there was someone with a minor disability who hadn't been in any program prior to seeking employment. Uh-huh. Is the Schedule A something where you can just meet with someone and get a letter, or do you already have to be enrolled in programs?
You don't have to be enrolled in a program. You do have to have somebody verify your disability. But you could have somebody verify your disability and then go directly from there to, again, you need to know who to contact within the federal government, and you would need to contact the federal hiring authority for that agency. So just a couple quick things. I'm almost done. You can certainly work with your state vocational rehabilitation agency. We, on a national level, are trying to work with them to work with us in expediting this process. Any human resource offices of the federal agency. And if you go to this website, which is www.opm, which stands for the Office of Personnel Management.gov, you can find a list of selective placement coordinators. Those individuals, their job is to outreach to individuals in the community for Schedule A hiring authority. So again, contact them, send them your resume. Their job is to then work with the hiring managers within their organization to find out who's got what job opening and see if we can fill it quickly through Schedule A versus a competitive process. And, of course, you need to sell yourselves and your abilities. You can only go up from there. And I think that's me. Yes.
I have a question. If you are going and you want to get hired under the Schedule A and you want to get the letter, and say you can't get the certification of job readiness, and then you go and get a job, can you get that revised at a later date?
You can, but actually, as long as you have a resume that shows some skills or some past history, that's your verification of job readiness, your certification.
Okay.
What they're really looking for is, do you have the skills and abilities to do the job? So you don't have to go back to where you got your Schedule A letter and ask them to revise it. You give them the Schedule A letter and you say, and this is my experience and this is why I can do this job.
Okay, but if you do that, are you still likely to be hired as a temporary, you know, up to 2 years?
Well, at a minimum, you would still have to work there for a year before it's converted to a full competitive employment. And that's really nothing more than a management coding system for the federal government. It doesn't impact your benefits. It doesn't impact your pay.
But you could, if you wanted to, not get stuck in that two-year cycle, go back and ask them to recertify.
You absolutely could.
Okay.
The other thing about Schedule A is that once you are Schedule A certified, it stays with you. So you get hired by the federal government and you see another job posting or you hear about another job opening, you are still Schedule A certified and you can apply for a transfer or a promotion on the same basis using Schedule A. It's not a you use it and then you lose it. If you are Schedule A eligible, that remains with you. And the hope and the point of that was to make sure that people not only get hired into the federal government, but that they stay there and that they get promoted.
So that you wouldn't necessarily need to revise your Schedule A certification if you got extra training or skills.
No.
Got it.
Again, that would come back to the skills, knowledge, and ability required for the job. But the basic thing is disability, and your disability is not going to go away. Your IQ is not going to improve by 10 points, et cetera. So once you're eligible, it's good.
Okay, thanks.
Yes. Schedule A is probably the best-kept secret in Washington, D.C. Federal agencies don't really know how to use it. Christine Griffin, who was a commissioner with the EEOC, is actually moving over to be assistant director of the Office of Personnel Management. And the advocates in D.C. are looking forward to working with her to really make federal agencies aware of this authority. As pathetic as it is, my PowerPoint, I did a presentation 2 years ago, and when people Google Schedule A, my name comes up first. And I have federal agencies calling me saying, you know, we thought about this. We'd like to use Schedule A. How do we do it? And I just find that appalling that I'm the person that has to tell them.
Can OVR or does OVR ever help students or adults get jobs in the federal government?
They can. I don't know that, you know, different VR agencies do a better job with job placement than other agencies, but they certainly can. And that the emphasis, again, in Washington with their national organization, which is the State Council of Administrators for Vocational Rehabilitation, is to bring this to the attention of the VR administrators and have them utilize it more. You're going to get your exercise. This is what I call a natural support because I don't have really good legs, and at my conference, I have to run the mic around, so when somebody else does it, it's great.
A couple of years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago, my son got a letter from OVR stating that he is having disabilities and therefore is eligible to get a job that was advertised at the federal government. Is that letter the Schedule A?
Yes.
And it is still functional?
It
and
is still
should
good.
Be completed or should be submitted if you are interested in a job?
Right.
Automatically or only after your contact? Or how does that work?
If you submit that with an application, then that allows them to bypass the process. Now, you never want to give away your original letter.
Mm-hmm.
You keep that as a copy, okay?
That's right.
Because
that's
you might end up, sadly enough, you might end up applying for 10 jobs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no, once you have been certified for Schedule A, that's good for life. So,
that's good for life. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you.
What if you have a disability and you've worked outside of the federal system and now want to, you know, get a better job and get a federal job? Can you be certified as a Schedule A at that point, even though you're midstream in your work career?
Absolutely, positively. There's no age limit. There's no time limit. A lot of people have, especially now with the labor market, a lot of people who have been previously employed in private industry and didn't consider federal employment, and now they've lost their jobs, they're just as qualified. It's got nothing to do with, you know, It's got nothing to do with whether it's your first job or it's your last job. It has to do with whether you're a qualified person with a disability and helping them meet their federal obligation to employ and advance people with disabilities.
In order to get the Schedule A letter, do you have to go through any sort of test for the federal government? Like, I know the typical person would have to take a test to get into the federal government.
Now, the whole point, if you have your Schedule A letter, is that you get to bypass all of that. It's non-competitive. But you still want to be able to demonstrate that you have the skills and abilities. But you don't have to take a test. You don't have to be ranked. And actually, the federal government has pretty much done away with those tests. For most positions anyway. Now you're required to submit a narrative explaining your skills, knowledge, and abilities.
Okay. And if you got that Schedule A letter, I know you could go on the website and all. This may be a dumb question. Could you just go to your local post office with that Schedule A letter and fill out an application, like, say, for something like that?
Chances are, if you went to your local post office, they're not going to know what to do with it.
Okay.
And that's the part that we're really going to be focusing on in the upcoming years, is to educate the federal agencies as to the availability of the program, as well as the hows and whys of how to make it work.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Now, I might be confused in my head now about it. You said you do not need Schedule A to get a summer internship or a summer job. That's correct.
That is correct.
But to get a Schedule A certification, you would participate with an OVR?
You could participate with OVR, or if you're a veteran and have been served by the Veterans Administration, or you have a doctor who will verify that you have a disability.
Okay, if the doctor verifies it, then you could go to the OVR and get one? How do you get it after that?
If you have a doctor certifying your disability, he can basically put it in letter form that basically verifies that you are a person with a disability. There isn't a magic word that says you have to have Schedule A on the letter. You just have to have a doctor verify that you are a person with a disability.
Okay.
And if you can get him to throw in that you're also job ready, it will simplify the process, but it's not mandatory. We charge 50 cents for the second question.
But didn't you say the SS, if you qualify for the SSI,
right,
that automatically would qualify you for Schedule A?
If you qualify for SSI based on disability, mm-hmm. because you can also qualify for SSI based on being aged, if you qualify based on disability and you still have, like, your original letter that says you're getting it because of a disability, then that will be accepted as verification of disability.
I think our time's up, Cheryl.
Okay.
Parting notes.
I'll be around if anybody has any questions. Thank you. I know this is a difficult time slot after lunch.